Well, it's been a great year in 2018 for us at Harvest City Church. And today is sort of a special Sunday. We have this tradition, I don't know how many years that we've been doing it, but where we take the last Sunday of the year and we sort of look back and celebrate what God did in that previous year, both as a church corporately and also just in the lives of different individuals. You know, one of the great things about my job is that I often get to hear the stories of how God is changing people's lives. And there's nothing more rewarding than hearing these sorts of stories, because it's why we do what we do. And oftentimes throughout the year, you think, oh, that's such a good story. We're going to have to share that one on Testimony Sunday. And then you get to Testimony Sunday and you're like, I can't remember all the stories that I've heard over the course of the year, but there have been so many good ones. And there are so many stories that we can't even share in this sort of situation just because of the personal nature of those stories, etc. But God is doing great things. We're going to hear from six people today, and these six people have different types of stories in different ways that God has touched them and brought transformation into their lives. And so we're just going to hear some clips from some of those today. But before I introduce those to you, I just want to talk to you a little bit about some of the good things that have been happening in the church as a whole. We've been growing. Our church attendance has really spiked this year. I would say that of all the years that we've been in Harvest City Church, and that's been 30-some, I think. Now, this has probably been the biggest year of growth that we've ever had as a church. Probably 2 years ago, it used to be a big deal if we would break the 700 barrier on a Sunday morning. It would be, wow, we had 700 people that came through the doors this Sunday. This year, we've been averaging over 750 people a Sunday, and we've been breaking the 800 barrier on a regular basis, and we've come very close to breaking the 900 barrier a handful of times. This summer, we were averaging over 100 more people in church on Sunday than we did the previous summer. It's amazing to me where all these people are coming from. We've increased the amount of connections classes that we do in a year from 2 to 4. And every one of those classes usually has at least 20 people that attend them. And we see people coming from all over the world. We continue to be a multicultural church. In fact, our last connections class, it was hard to find a Caucasian in the entire class. But it's amazing how, as we've gone to the nations, God has brought the nations to us here at Harvest City Church. And we love it. We love it. I'm excited by what I see happening in our life groups. Our life group attendance is up. We've had some new groups that have started this year. And just the overall reports of what I'm hearing that's happening within our life groups, there's life in the life groups, and that is encouraging to me. If you're not in a life group, we would love to help connect you one. And actually, the new year is a great time to start. The groups have sort of shut down for December, and they're firing up again in January. It's a great time for new people to join a group. If you're not in one, we would love to help you find one. We have them all over our city. A few years ago, my father started doing this thing with Jim Kitney and the men's ministry called Men's Wake Up Call. And they started with a handful of guys in the staff room, 6:30 on a Wednesday morning, to meet for just discussion and some teaching from my father and others, but mainly my dad. And that group has now grown to over 40 guys meeting regularly, two mornings a week at 6:30 on Wednesday and Thursday mornings. And my father has said to me, I don't know what I'm going to do, because I don't think I can do this three mornings a week, but we're starting to max the space out. And so I'm excited by what God is doing in that ministry as well. And also just seeing the men in our church rising up to be who God has called them to be. That's always a great thing. We're going to hear from one of those guys today, but I've had different men meet with me recently and just share me their visions of what God has been doing as they're ministering out in the prison and forming accountability groups with the Conquer series, and just God is just inspiring some of the guys in our church to really raise their game and to get involved in things. And so we're seeing great things happening within the men of our church as well. I'm excited by the fact that I'm seeing prayer increasing within the church. We have new prayer groups that have started. Gary Williamson, one of our pastoral staff, has kind of, I've tasked him with sort of overseeing that whole area of prayer in our church and helping to bring those prayer groups together. There's been a particular prayer group that's been meeting regularly, and we've seen people added to our prayer team. If you want to be a part of that, we send out emails and phone calls every week with prayer requests as they come in, and there's been a real committed group of people to take those needs to the Lord, and I believe some of the breakthrough that we're seeing is a direct result of people becoming more fervent in the area of prayer. It's a great thing. We started live streaming our Sunday services. How many of you have taken advantage of that? There's just one thing. You can't skip church to watch the sermon in bed. If you're sick, it's all right. You can do it. Otherwise, you need to be here. My mother is very concerned that people will stop coming to church if we're live streaming on Sundays. But it has been exciting to see people that are tuning in from all over the world, actually. And we've been seeing an increased online presence. God really blessed us this year with a donation that actually allowed us to hire some media staff here at the church. And I'm sure that you've seen that our online presence is increasing. What we've been able to do in the area of media is increasing, and as a result, more and more people are becoming engaged, both within our city and around the world. We actually are renovating my dad's old office and turning it into a studio, and so we're going to be doing a lot more online stuff in the coming year, and so we are excited by the vision that God has given us in this whole area of media. Derek, who's kind of overseeing that, he's pushing my buttons because I don't like it when he comes bursting into my office and says, "You're live, you know, tell us about the sermon," and things like this. But he's challenged me. He says, "What if we could reach 300,000 people?" Oh. Well, then let me do this. And so we have this vision that not only what we see happening here on a Sunday morning, that we'd be able to transfer that all around the world. You know, I had this amazing opportunity a few weeks ago to preach the gospel in Pakistan from my own desk over Skype to a crowd in northern Pakistan. It was really bizarre. It was hard to preach to my computer screen, but saw some amazing results. With technology, there's new ways to reach the world. And so we want to be on the cutting edge of that. And so I'm excited by what God is doing in those areas. Lift 42, many of you know how God is opening the doors in that area and how that ministry is growing. And this June, just so you know, we have another trip planned in Hoima. Steps are well underway. There's such an excitement in that community about us coming. Anatoly will be going in February to really ramp up the stuff on the ground, but it's well underway already. Groups are meeting to pray and to strategize, and teams are forming. I think this is going to be the biggest one we've done yet, certainly our most organized. But one of the things that I'm excited about and I want you to pray about is a few years ago, Pastor Peter started talking to me about South Sudan and his desire to go to South Sudan. But of course, it's dangerous, more dangerous there. But I haven't been able to shake it. And so the last time when we were in Uganda, I started talking to him about South Sudan and why don't we knock on the door there and see if the door will open. If God's leading, who cares how dangerous it is? I just want to go. And so this June, my father and I and probably Anatoly will be flying into South Sudan to do a pastor's conference in Juba with the vision of going back the following year to do our first crusade outside of Uganda in the nation of South Sudan. So please be in prayer about that as we go knock on that door and see if God will open it. But as we look to expand and grow, there's this, well, Lord, every time we do these things, it costs more money and more resources. And we've just seen God do incredible things and provide for everything that we've been doing. And one of the things that we've been praying as a leadership team is that there would be some other churches and other people that would get on board with us and want to help us. And a couple weeks ago, one of our Lifelinks churches in Melville, Saskatchewan, invited me to come and just share some stories about what God was doing in Africa. And Anatoly came with me, and we did that. And just on Friday, the pastor from Melville came and met with me in my office and handed me a check for $5,000 and said that their church is committed to giving us $5,000 a year for the next 5 years. Small church in Melville. First church to come on board outside of Harvest City Church and partner with us. Awesome. There's so many more things that I could say. We don't have time for it this morning. But in almost, I would say, in every ministry in our church, I'm hearing good things. Good things are happening. There's life that's happening. People's lives are being changed. People's lives are being impacted. Of course, we have challenges. But today we don't want to talk too much about the challenges. Today is about celebration. But we do have challenges. We need more volunteers. As God grows us, as ministries grow, we need more volunteers. We need more life groups. We need more resources. We need wisdom in terms of expansion. People ask me, what's the next step? Are we building buildings? Are we adding a third service? Where are we going? I wish I knew. Pray for us as we seek the Lord. Growth is awesome, but it also presents challenges. And so we really want to hear from the Lord. And I believe that in 2019, we're going to need to hear from the Lord in regards to some of these things. So please be in prayer about that. Well, the first story that the first testimony that we're going to hear today is from Nicole Brown. Nicole has been coming to our church for a little bit of time now. And over the last 3 weeks, I did a series of messages with you on the Holy Spirit. And we were talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and even talking about speaking in tongues and some of those strange things. And after every message, we had an opportunity to respond to the Lord and to receive prayer. And people have been sharing stories with me of how God touched them. And people were filled with the Holy Spirit. And we've had stories of people that are saying, I've spoken tongues for the very first time, and God touched me in a powerful way. And one of those people was Nicole. And so here's her story of how God filled her with the Holy Spirit.
My name is Nicole Brown, and I've been coming to Harvest City Church for about 2.5 years. On the second sermon of Joel's sermon series on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was privileged enough to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it was a very a very personal and extraordinary experience for me. I did not grow up in a Christian home, and for 22 years I went to a conservative church that did not believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit existed after the death of Paul. And so because of that, while I read Scripture and I read the book of Acts and I read 1 Corinthians, I came to a different conclusion of Scripture than the church that I attended. And so I kind of had a bit of a crisis of faith a couple years ago prior to attending here. Because of my church background, it is particularly challenging for me to go to the front of the church to respond to anything. So that is just something that is outside of my cultural experience. So when he gave the invitation, I found myself in the middle of a row and I was like, I have to get all these people to move. And so I had to ask just a couple people to move so that I could respond. If I had to reflect on a couple of things that have changed since that day, the first one that I would probably bring to light is that for my entire Christian life, I had always wondered when people said they felt God, and they'll be like, oh, I feel God, God is so real. And I chalked that up, but I didn't feel anything to the fact that I just don't feel things. And I know there's a tangible presence to God. So I know that I was saved from the day that I accepted Christ as my Savior until the day I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I did not know the fullness of what that could be. I'm more convinced now that I'm equipped to undertake whatever he asks me to do in the future. 1 Corinthians 14 is true, and that if he calls me to a situation, he will empower me through his Holy Spirit to accomplish things that I could not do on my own. I waited 17 years. I don't imagine that would be the case for everyone, but you know, even after 17 years, he allowed that to occur.
Took a lot of courage for Nicole to tell her story, so I'm glad that she did. Next, we're going to hear from Doug Kahn. Doug has a story of how the Lord has brought him, well, how he came back to the Lord and how Harvest City Church had a part to play in that. And I think he'll be inspired by his passion for what he feels the Lord is challenging him with now.
My name is Doug Kahn, and for 30 years I wasn't walking with the Lord. And in 2015, I decided I need to get back walking with the Lord. I've been a hockey coach for 30 years. So when I look at my life, I look at my life as three periods in a hockey game. The first period of the hockey game was my first 30 years. I learned that God was there. I found God and I accepted Christ as my Savior. In the second 30 years of my life, I was going to a church, and it was a legalistic environment. And when I was coming out of there, I felt horrible about myself and that I was letting God down. So eventually we walked away from church. We moved to Moose Jaw. I got involved in hockey and work, promotions and work, that sort of thing. And I just left God alone and didn't walk with him. And around 2015, I decided that I'm in the third period of my life. And I got to get right with God. I got to walk with God. So I started praying and reading my Bible again. My wife and I, we decided we were going to go and look for a church. So we were going to every Sunday go to a different church and find which one would give us a message about God so that we could build a relationship with God. The first church that we went to, my wife says, let's go to this Harvest City Church. It's charismatic and it might be a little bit different than what we're used to. And coming from a fundamentalist background, went to church and it was different for sure. The funny thing about it is that the next Sunday we showed up and we haven't gone to another church, we haven't looked at another church, and we've just found our home here at Harvest City. God led us to the right church, we believe, and we've been happy here. And I'm in the third period. You never know when you're going to be taken out of the third period or if you're going to get into overtime. So what I'm going to do is the third period is going to be the best part of my game. I'm going to work my hardest and do my best to serve God. So I've stepped out and I've got involved in some ministries at the church. The men's wake-up call in the morning. I do the prison ministry out at the jail. Every Thursday I go to jail with a couple of other guys. And what's really neat about that is that when I'm out there, it's like I'm in a dressing room. It's like I'm in a hockey dressing room. And I'm out there with these guys and I'm teaching them about Christ just like I would be coaching the hockey team. I used to say to my hockey players, is go hard or go home. Well, what I say to myself these days is, God, I want to go hard for you before you take me home. Think of the verse in 2 Timothy. It's Paul saying, I've fought the good fight, I've kept the faith, and the last period of my life, I want to spend it serving God.
Isn't that good? My wife wants to know, Doug, if you've been in the penalty box at all. That's the next testimony, the after story. Next, you're going to hear the story of a lady who's been coming to our church not real long, but has been coming for a few months and had an experience where God healed her.
My name is Wendy Wiest. I've been coming to Harvest City Church. I've been here since June. I've struggled with health issues and chronic pain and things for years. It was Christmas Eve. That night my hand was really, really sore, and I woke up Christmas morning. I was having people over for Christmas, and I couldn't open my hand. Two of my fingers, I could not open them. I had gone to doctor after doctor after doctor and tried medications after medications, and finally had gone into a doctor, and because I had been previously diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, they looked at my hands and told me I had psoriatic arthritis and started on a bunch of medications, which just didn't work. October 28th this year, whew, praise God. I was in church, and the Spirit is just moving, and Pastor Joel calls for prayer. And so we go out for prayer, as I'd love to do, and as embarrassing as I look, it's what I need. Later on that day, my hand opened up, but I couldn't believe it because it hadn't opened up for so many years. And so then I thought, well, it's your brain. So later on that day, I thought, somebody needs to witness this. So I went up to my husband and went, and he's freaked out. With my grandchildren, I've always done a high three because I couldn't do a high, I hate high fives anyway, but I always said a high three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This year, after it opened and I hadn't seen them and I got a chance to have my child, so I had them in front of me and I said, okay, let's do a high five. Went like this, or high three, went like this. They do the high three and I opened a whole hand. The thing that's so cool, I've been on CPP disability for 10 years, I think now. And praise God, I know come next year, I'm canceling my disability and I'm going back to work.
That's great, Wendy. I like giving you the high fives. Just talked to Wendy this morning, her hand continues to get better and better, and off all medication for 6 days, the last 6 days. God continues to heal her. Awesome. We have two more to hear from. Next, we're going to hear from Lori LaValle. Lori has been a part of our church for a long time, but Lori recently took part in our cleansing stream program, and we had a powerful cleansing stream. This last time, heard some really good stories of testimonies of people that really encountered God and found freedom through that. And Lori was one of those, and so we're going to hear a little bit of her story.
Hi, I'm Lori LaValle. I've been coming to Harvest City for just over 30 years, so it's been quite a while. This year was a year that I knew that I really had to get back on track with God. I knew my life was getting so dry spiritually, and so what I had done was every Sunday I would take the CDs from the Sunday service, and I would take them into my car and just listen to them as I drove back and forth to work. One Sunday there was a video inviting people to take the Cleansing Stream class, and so I signed up for it. I knew I had to do that because I was getting to the point in my life where it was getting hard to cope with different things in my life. I was so consumed by anxiety and worry, and it was either take the Cleansing Stream class or go to the doctor and get medication to help me with it. I'm so glad that I prayed and I took the classes because it really, really did help me. They gave me tools that I could use to help me in my walk to get rid of this anxiety and the worry that I was facing in my life. One of the first tools that we learned was that we needed to make choices. To make our mind, will, and emotions line up with the spirit. We could either go the easy way and make the wrong choice and not let our spirits grow, or we could do the hard thing and make the right choice, and then our spirits would grow. I got to experience that one day. I was having a super bad day where I was high anxiety, high stress, and that evening I just... I made that choice. That was the key there. I made the choice to do what God would want me to do. So I said, okay, God, you're in control here now. What I did was I just put on a worship CD, and I sat and I immersed myself in the presence of God, and I worshiped the Lord. And after a time, my anxiety levels left, and I wasn't worried as much, and I was able to get through. So I made that first step. I made that choice. And that's pretty much what all of this is about for me now, is making the choice to do the right thing in my life. Cleansing Stream helped me to get my focus back and get back on track with what I wanted to do in my life. I needed to get back into the Word. I needed to start praying more fervently. I needed to do all these things. My life was so distracted by TV and social media that I just wasn't focusing on God anymore. It was like He was there, but on the back burner. God was actually able to speak to me, and I could actually hear Him. It was so nice to be able to get that sense and get revelations from God finally, because it's been so long since I could actually feel God speak to me. God spoke to me on what different things I needed to get free from the guilt and the condemnation and hurts and anger and rejection. And I was just freed from all of those things. I was able to throw them off and just leave them behind, and just so filled with God. This past year, 2018, was a good year for me. It was one where I really persevered, and I looked to find God, and I found Him again. You know, if you just let God do in your life, He will. God is an amazing God.
You know, we have... some really committed people in our church, Debbie LaChance and Kate and Alden Ludwig, and their teams of people that are involved with Genesis and Cleansing Stream and praying for people in between services once a month. And we have just seen so many people find freedom in God through these ministries. And I just want to tell you, as your pastor, that I'm so grateful for you and so grateful that you spend the time to help people walk through their stuff. We all have stuff, and to have somebody come and walk beside us and give us tools, it is incredible, and it takes such a burden off of me to know that we have people that are really helping people and caring for them. And so thank you for those that are involved in all those ministries. We have one more story, and this is a powerful story. And this is Kathleen Whippler. She's going to share what God did in her life. And this isn't something that happened this last year. It's a couple years ago or 3 years ago. But the reason why I'm sharing it with you is because it's an awesome story, first of all. And second, because the way I heard about it was in our life group just a few weeks ago. And of course, I had been doing a series of messages with you on the armor of God. And we had finished the series talking about prayer and the power of prayer to see breakthrough in our lives, and talking about standing on the promises of God, and about how when, you know, even the, we're talking a lot about the war that's happening in the spiritual realm. And so in our life group, we were just going through that sermon and just talking about it. I was actually leading the life group that night, and I just asked people to share some of their own stories of some of the battles that they had fought and standing on the Word of God. And Kathleen shared this story that night, and I thought, man, that is awesome. I got to get that for the testimony Sunday. So you're going to enjoy this.
I'm Kathleen Wepler, and I've been coming to Harvest about just over 7 years now. My story started probably just over a couple of years ago. We had been blessed with a beautiful baby girl and decided that we wanted to expand our family. So we started trying for another baby, and I suffered a miscarriage early on and just couldn't seem to fall pregnant after that. We, you know, decided to get some help, and we tried fertility drugs. And unfortunately, those didn't help any. And then after a while, I decided, well, maybe we should be done. And I went to go for some counseling, and the counselor said to me, if you're here, it means you're not done trying. So went back, spoke to my husband, and we decided to go back to the doctor. They decided that to send my file to a doctor who happened to be on mat leave, and so she just pushed, her office just pushed my file through to the fertility clinic in Saskatoon. And there they told me I had unexplained infertility, and that the best approach would probably be in vitro fertilization. So we embarked on that journey. It's quite an emotional journey, and a lot that goes on. And we tried the first round, and sadly that was unsuccessful. And it took a bit of, you know, it took a bit of emotional toll. So we waited for a while, and then went back and decided, after talking to them, that we would try a second round. But that would probably be it. Going through all that, I even took time off work, and I was spending time, you know, with God. And during one of my prayer times, I felt that God was prompting me to look up the meaning of a name that both my husband and I had liked for a boy when we were talking names the first time around. So, and the name was Matthew. And I really felt strong urging to look up the meaning. And the meaning of the name means gift from God. And I really felt that God was saying that He was going to give me a gift of a child, which is always exciting to hear when you're doing in vitro. We did the second round, and you usually get the phone call. They phone you to let you know, and you usually get it in the afternoon. My husband had actually taken the afternoon off, but the phone call came in early, and I was actually by myself when I got it. I thought for a moment there I was excited, because I thought, oh, if it's early, maybe that was good news. But sadly, it was not. It had not worked. As you could see, it's still even emotional now. After I, you know, told them that we were done and that they could close the file, got off the phone and cried for a bit. And it was in that moment that I actually audibly, almost audibly heard the devil say, "What are you going to do now?" Almost in that mocking voice. "What are you going to do? Your God has failed you. He said He was going to give you a gift of a child, and He hasn't. So what are you going to do?" I couldn't believe it. It was just like, really, I'm like in my most vulnerable state right now. And of course, your hormones aren't exactly what they should be either after all that. And I just remember getting down on my knees, and I said to Him, "Go away in Jesus' name. You go away. Because I will not lose my faith over this. I will not. I will serve God. And I will serve the Lord." And I said, "You get behind me, because I will get my gift from God." I didn't know how it was going to look like or what it was going to be. So I said, "It will happen, and you can go away." And He did. He says, "Resist the devil and he will flee." And he went. My husband came home, cried some more. And then we gave away our baby stuff. And the very next month, we fell pregnant naturally. And we were blessed with a beautiful baby boy. who is now called Matthew. He's now 2.5 years old and a very active, beautiful boy.
Isn't that awesome? I knew you'd enjoy that one. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? God is good all the time. You know, we share these stories to celebrate, but also to remember how great God is. For every great story, there's a journey to that story. Isn't that true? To have the celebration, there's a journey that gets you there. And sometimes the longer the journey, the greater the celebration. You know, there's a lot of banners up on the wall back there. And we won a lot of provincial championships, and this is so on a tangent. But we had, I remember one run where we were 5 years in a row, we lost the big game. And it was after years of success to all of a sudden lose all the time was tough. And that year where we broke through and finally won. Dusty's here. He's back. Remember Dusty? Remember the inspirational speech at halftime? And we finally did this thing and we won. Without a doubt, probably the most joyous of all the championships I won was that one. Because there had been so many years of heartbreak. Now it's just sports. It really doesn't matter in life. But I was just thinking this morning, there's many of you that are in that place of heartbreak, even here today. You're in that place of, God, did you fail me? Where are you, Lord? The person beside me is getting blessed. Did you forget about me? Many of us are in different places in our journey. But we need to hear these stories to remind us that God is faithful, that God is for us, that God is with us, that the story's not over yet. It's not over, right? There's still chapters to be written. Yes? And sometimes there's just things where we just got to let them go and trust God because we know that He's good and we know that He's faithful. And sometimes those things, those trials and all those things that we're right in the middle of, those are the things that we're going to look back on 10, 15 years from now and go, I didn't know where God was in the middle of it, but I now see that God's hand was in the whole thing and God used those things in my life in a powerful way. Agreed? That's our testimony as a church. Our darkest days actually became stepping stones for some of our greatest victories that we now experience and we now celebrate. And so we just need to remember that as we're sort of rejoicing with those who rejoice and we'll weep with those who weep. That's what church is all about. Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You that in all things You are good, that You are Lord. Father, we thank You that You're a God who hears us. We thank You that You're a God who sees us. And Lord, we rejoice today with those who've been experiencing breakthrough in their lives. And we remember those today that are right in the middle of the journey. And God, we pray for those that are in real difficult spots today. That You would be near to them. That You would strengthen them. That You would help them. Father, I pray that Your presence would come upon them in a powerful way. Father, we pray that 2019 would be a year where we see great breakthroughs. 2018 was a year where we saw great breakthroughs. But God, we pray that it would pale in comparison to the breakthroughs that we're going to see in 2019. Father, we thank you for your blessing that's been upon this house. We thank you for those that you're bringing through our doors. And God, we want to care for them, and we want to love them, and we want to shepherd them well. Help us to do that, Lord Jesus. Father, we're not interested in having great numbers. We're interested in having lives transformed by the power of God. That's what it's all about, Lord Jesus. It's about people encountering you and being changed forever. And God, we want to just see more of that. We want to have more of those stories. And so, Lord, I pray for great breakthrough in finances this year. I pray for a great breakthrough in health this year. I pray this would be a year of miracles like we've never seen before. Thank you for healing Wendy's hand. Let there be many hands and many organs and feet and limbs that would be transformed and healed by the power of God. Even this morning, let your healing power just flow in this place in Jesus' name, and touch bodies and set people free in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for stories like Ryan, who was bound by a spirit of death and depression. And Lord, we thank you that you've brought him out of that, and that you've breathed life into him and given him hope. And God, I pray there would be many stories of people who are discouraged and oppressed and full of anxiety and fear and post-traumatic stress disorder and every other disorder that encountered the living God and were healed emotionally and became healthy and whole and filled with the joy of the Lord. Father, I pray this would be a year where we would see family members come to Christ that are far away. This would be a year where we'd see the prodigals return home, oh God, and those that have been lost in confusion and deception find the hope and the light of Jesus Christ. Father, let this be a year where we see a harvest of souls, where people are transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light like we've never seen it before. A year of harvest, we pray in Jesus' name. Father, have your hand of blessing upon us. Lord, we just position ourselves in this way, God. We're bowing our knees before you, knowing that without you, we can do nothing. Without you, we can do nothing. These testimonies are a testimony of your greatness, not ours. Of your faithfulness, not ours. Who are we without you, Lord Jesus? We're nothing. We're nothing. Every life that is transformed, we lift them up to you as worship. And say, you did it, Lord. You did it. It's all because of you, Lord Jesus. It's all because of you. And so, Lord, we just ask you, send your Holy Spirit upon us. Send your Holy Spirit upon us. Heal your people. Transform your people. Give hope. Fill people with purpose. In Jesus' name. Amen. Are you blessed? Oh.
You know, Kofi just came up here and said, you know what, we should pray for Joel and Angela and her family as our pastors, amen. And I know the target that's on their back, and we need them, amen. So why don't, before we go, I'm just going to ask Kofi, you know, if you come up and make a suggestion, then you get to follow it through. So why don't you come down here, Angela, why don't you come over here. Let's just pray for them. Can we do that at the end of this year? And we need them, amen? And we need them in their family. Girls, come up here too. And I know you don't. And Kofi, why don't you pray for us?
Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you, want to bless you this morning. We commit them into your hands, Lord. We ask for your blessings, and we ask for your presence upon their lives as they move into 2019. We ask of your favor and your blessings upon them. And we ask that the angels of God watch over them, protect them, deliver them from the hands of the wicked one. And we ask, Lord, that this year is going to be their blessed year in the name of Jesus, that we are going to benefit through these blessings. Hallelujah. We also commit everyone in this ministry into your hands right now. We ask that they will help them grow in the spirit in the name of Jesus. What a thank you want to bless you for your faithfulness. We know you have chosen him for this world, and we ask that Father, go before him, prepare the world for him, so that we can all benefit and enjoy your presence. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Kofi.
All right. Appreciate that.